Do you want to talk about how you're feeling right now?
Oh, so many questions. What does this mean? What do I do?
Go on! Tell them what you think!
I liked it.
I think your calculations may have been off.
I think it's all right.
I just have a lot of feelings.
This pleases me.
These are perfectly normal feelings.
Do you even know what you sound like when you talk like that?
Now, shall we begin?
Why'd you need to kick Bob out of the house?
You think he's gone? He's not gone! That's the whole point! He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Real Feels podcast for our very special Patreon episode. And we're going to baby step into this lovely choice of a film from the delicate 90s for a great comedy featuring Richard Dreyfuss and Bill Murray. It's What About Bob?
Just when Leo Marvin thought he was getting away from it all.
As of this afternoon, I'm taking my family on vacation.
His old friend Bob Wiley showed up.
Dr. Marvin!
Oh my God.
I really appreciate this.
I don't want any of you letting Bob into this house.
He's a sweet guy. Can we invite Bob over for dinner? Would you like some more chicken, Bob?
Will you stop that, please?
You're angry. No, I don't get
angry. Get out of here!
You're upset.
Relax, Leo. Take a vacation.
I'm on vacation!
Touchstone Pictures presents Bill Murray.
Hello, I'm Bob. Would you knock me out, please?
And Richard Dreyfuss.
This man is crazy! Get out!
Why'd you need to kick Bob out of the house?
He's not gone. That's the whole point. He's never gone!
Is this some radical new therapy?
You see?
What About Bob? Rated PG.
I'm Drew.
This is Richard Dreyfuss. I was in Jaws.
This is host Jack.
This is Nathan, the same actor that was in Dick Tracy, the same actor that was in Hook, the same actor that, oh, no, Ziggy. He was
that son of a bitch. She never says that.
Well done, Ziggy.
Burn in hell, Dr. Marvin.
So yeah, did everyone watch this movie a lot of times growing up?
I did.
It was sort of family friendly, I think. Yeah. You could slap it right on the side there.
Weird, because one, Brooke watched this as a child numerous times, and she's like, oh, you guys are doing something about Bob. I love this movie. I'd never watched it before.
What'd you think?
It's a good movie. It's a lot of fun. It's time appropriate. Nowadays, way too many red flags are raised on a lot of moments. But if you put yourself back in that time, a lot of fun. And the suspension of disbelief of just, you know.
Yeah, especially towards the end when the family's like, we just think it would be best. You know, you're really bothering Leo. Like, you need to leave. And then, like, he keeps coming back. At that point, I'm like, all right, like, let's, like, this is crossing over into, you've got a real problem, and it's no longer that, you know,
the cool
substitute dad, you know, teaching the kid how to dive and, you know, going on a nice sailing expedition with the daughter who was 26, played at 16-year-old.
Oh, we will get
was
to
she
that.
She 26?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, see, again, I.
Because 3 years later.
I have these lovely, like, kid blinders on.
Catherine Embry, 3 years later, does Mighty Ducks 2, and she's the teacher. And I was like,
that's
wait a minute.
Right!
There is not enough time for me to adjust where you're a teenager.
Gosh.
And now you're a hot teacher?
Wasn't she in High Fidelity, too, as one of the ex-girlfriends?
Maybe. Was she?
She's
we should know this.
Now know this. Very involved in SCV or
we looked her up last night when we were watching it. She's found her niche.
I'm iced tea. I care. but Bill Murray obviously just kills it. He does such a good job.
He plays crazy, or at least the manic, you know, factors bringing into the character incredibly well. You don't ever like disbelieve that he doesn't believe that there is something wrong. You know, like, what if my bladder explodes? What if I get the heart attack? Then he fakes the Tourette's and the heart attack. And he's like, if I can fake it, then I don't have it. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything.
Well, and he's aware that he has a problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yet he doesn't want to really do anything about it.
Is it that he doesn't want to do anything about it, or that he believes that they are there so he can't? Or if he doesn't believe that the, you know, issues are truly dealt with, then he will always be afflicted.
Well, and he's also become almost a professional in his own care.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Leo has his breakdown during the surprise, and he's like, you know, write him a prescription for
Prozac.
And he's like, well, don't you think with his mood swings, like this and this might be a little bit better? And he's like, of course, Bob, that, you know, that's
like that's a real good, medical, that's right. A real medical doctor.
When he drops him off, you know, has him get out of the car, he's like, is this isolation therapy? Like, he's always thinks that everything that all the interactions he has with Dr. Leo Marvin is somehow like that he's still treating him, even though Dr. Leo Marvin just wants him out of his fucking life at this point.
But he crosses the line
numerous times.
Very much so.
But the family loves him.
Right. And that's where, you know, Leo is trying to tell everybody, saying, no, like, don't be fooled. He is a classic narcissist. He somehow, you know, calls ahead tricks to get Bob under a 24-hour like psych hold, and then Bob has swooned and, you know, charismatically, you know, entangled every single doctor and, like, you know, orderly personnel, yeah, sitting there saying, telling stories, joking around, saying, that reminds me of my favorite poem, roses are red, violets are blue, I'm a schizophrenic, so am I. And I mean he is sitting there, and even the other doctor is looking at Leo as he's, like, you know, twitching, freaking out, saying, like, lock him up. You don't understand. And she's like, maybe you should stay here a few days.
And I think that's my least favorite part is, really? Is him just like,
where no one's listening to him?
Where he's at a place where he, you know, would very well, you know, be locked up, and they don't even go a full 24 hours, and all of a sudden they've bought into him. Like, he's totally normal. That's their whole job, is to separate patient from, you know, doctor, at least for the first 24 hours. You don't know this guy. This guy could pull a knife on you.
Well, mm-hmm. And sort of like Dr. Marvin says, like, you know, you're being played by a narcissist, because Bob has the ability to sort of enter any room and then control the attention, sort of suck mm-hmm. the air out of it, so it's all about him, you know, when he's singing, you know, what song was he singing with the family when they were cleaning up?
Oh, Singing in the Rain.
They're doing Singing in the Rain, and then, like, he sort of took over for Dr. Marvin during the Good Morning America interview, but then again, you don't know if Dr. Marvin was choking or if he was just America. So pissed off that he has to sit next to Bob and share the spotlight. And the same thing when he gets on the bus, you know, and that was more negative, where, like, everybody cheers when he gets off the bus because they're like, finally, we don't have to deal with this guy anymore. Or when they're in the restaurant and they're like, oh, Dr. Leo Marvin, that son of a bitch, we'll take you right to him just to get you out of our hair and to spite Dr. Marvin.
Even in, like you're saying, in the coffee shop, he knew he was going to call at 4, but it was 3 o'clock and some guy even tried to use the phone and he's like, no. Please don't. Like, someone's calling. I'm sorry, everyone. And if I, you know, black out, you know, so just be, I'm going to be okay. Just, you know, roll me over. I'll be fine. And when he gets off the bus, screaming throughout the entire town, Dr. Marvin, Dr. Leo Marvin. I mean, that should draw the attention of anyone, or automatically saying, like, who the hell is this? This guy's crazy. This guy's automatically crazy.
And it wasn't the mom. Wasn't she the stewardess from Airplane?
She's also the mom in Just Friends.
Be yourself.
Oh.
Be yourself.
Yes. I love Just Friends. That's a good movie.
There's some good little details in this when you realize that all Bob did to go on vacation was buy the Don't Hassle Me, I'm Local shirt, he's wearing the same pants because he cut them off into shorts, and one is a little bit longer in the leg than the others, and he's still wearing the same dress shoes. I did kind of like that. And a lot of the comic relief for me was the old couple in their boat when the house blows up at the end. They're like, yeah!
They're just always there.
They're always there. Well, because they know that something is going to go down with Bob. So I think
don't they have a store to run,
I think
though?
I don't think they care anymore. Shop. I think the most important thing in their life at this point right now, and all they really want to do is just see his life go up in flames because he bought the house from underneath them and just kind of ruined their plans.
We'll take you there.
I had every right to buy that house.
and Dr. Marvin, you know, Richard Dreyfuss. And Dr. Leo Marvin's got a lot going on for him, too, as far as sort of family strife. His kids don't really seem to like him very much. His wife just sort of tolerates him. He seems more drawn up with the pomp and circumstance of being this doctor and writing the book rather than actually treating the patients.
Yeah.
And much like anyone who is either obsessed or trying to put business first, it seems like he wants to be Dr. Marvin as opposed to Father Leo, you know, to his kids. He, instead of talking to his kids directly like a person, he, you know, invokes the hand puppet.
Hey, that's not creepy at all.
And they look exactly like him, too.
It's been a long time since I've had a talk with my daughter.
Oh, Daddy, not here.
Anna, I know you won't listen to your father, but you always listen to me, so I'm asking you not to see Bob Wiley.
Daddy, I am just...
I can't hear you. Where are you, Anna?
I am just having fun with my friends.
And Bob Wiley.
Yes, and Bob Wiley.
Yeah, the puppet master scene is a little little weird. That he and then he had them right there. He's just like,
Well, because he knows that his daughter won't sit and talk to him, and I get and by this notion, like, you already know that it's clearly been done multiple times. Otherwise,
same thing with the son too. Like they, which I think is the son. I mean, knocks it out of the park just when he's like, this is a
this the is hook.
Child of."
Bangarang!
Run home, Jack! Run home, Jack!
Oh, sorry. Home run, Jack!
But he does such a good job of just being this, like, little, pretty intelligent, yet
angsty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing all black.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Why are you wearing black? What's this fixation with death? I don't know. Maybe I'm mourning for my lost childhood. Hey. Stop it.
Stop being smart.
So when Ann and I were home in November, I busted out some of the old photo albums. And my mom, when she would do shopping for me up until the, like, at sixth grade is when I put my foot down. But she would buy me, like, the pastel shorts and the powder baby blue shirts. And right when I started to, in sixth grade, and you hit that angst and that, you know, that pubescence, I put my foot down. No patterns on shirts, all solid colors, and they had to be dark. And I would only be black, green, and blue, no yellows, reds, anything like that.
Okay.
For many, many years, you had that sort of... It wasn't goth, it was just sort of like...
And taking a note off the clothes, no one else that was even at the lake, anywhere even in Lake Winnipesaukee, was wearing the almost like tennis court short shorts that Richard Dreyfuss seemed very keen on wearing. And I don't know, I didn't find them very flattering.
I'm on vacation! I'm Richard Dreyfuss! I was in Jaws!
But where are you going? Fire Island?
Ooh.
You want to keep Maine all to yourself, huh?
That was the Bob Wiley who kept calling. Or that's the Bob Wiley who kept calling.
That was that Bob Wiley who kept calling. For him to walk in and go like, Bob just committed suicide 15 minutes ago. I'm thinking, how are they not connecting those dots?
And how are you there
in that time?
Did he leave a note? What's going on?
The prostitute that he pays to call and impersonate the sister, Rich Dreyfuss' sister, was Janice from The Sopranos.
Oh.
Which was James Gandolfini's sister, whacked out sister in that one. So I was like, holy shit!
Did they do enough with his sister and Bob, like, getting married?
That felt a little slapdash. Even when we watched it again last night, I thought it might be like a dream sequence, but no,
yeah,
actually is.
I mean,
is happening.
So they meet, and then it was the whole, like, don't touch my sister, jump, wrestle him to the ground. And then suddenly, you know, thanks, Bob, you're a good person. Leo is very lucky to have a friend like you. And then immediately jumps to the wedding, where Leo is catatonic in the wheelchair. And I'm thinking, even if he's catatonic in a wheelchair, who's not dressing him up for his own sister's wedding? Why is he in, like, a hospital gown, you know, and a robe, doing that?
And I think Dreyfuss does not do a very good, like, cuckoo. Like, his, like, ha, 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 ha. Like, no, stop. You're going too hard with it.
So Frank Oz, Yoda, directed the movie.
Mm-hmm. His credentials that I was reading, it was like, Muppets, 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 Revenge of the Sith, Muppets. Oh, nice, Oz.
And he was originally looking at Patrick Stewart to play Dr. Leo Marvin.
Which that would have been.
It would have been interesting, but Richard Dreyfuss has that sort of that smarmy, weaselly air about him when he is starting to do underhanded things with Bob.
It would have been a very different film. Yeah. Very different.
It definitely wouldn't have had the slapstick, kooky quality. Because, I mean, with Richard Dreyfuss going into the, you know, local, like, sporting goods store and looking at, like, the gun going, no, too messy.
Looking
at the bow, not painful enough. I don't think Patrick Stewart would have been as funny with it. I mean, if they wanted to do dark.
But I think, and Drew and I were talking about this earlier, that it's not a secret that Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss hated each other and still do.
Nice.
Over the course of this filming, like, they had a confrontation. Apparently, Bill Murray said that he was just tolerated.
Well, Bill Murray
threw an ashtray at Richard Dreyfuss's
apparently,
head.
Allegedly, incredibly drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dreyfuss, was this when he was on drugs a bunch, or was that a little later? Because he went hard on the drugs.
Maybe a little of the cocaine.
There was, I forget what movie it was, but he, like, later on, when he got sober, was like, oh, yeah, there was a movie that, like, I filmed that I don't remember filming. Yeah. Like,
I don't think it would have been What About Bob?
No, it wasn't that, but I mean, okay. Like, I don't know if that,
like,
was
around
that
Down
time.
And Out in Beverly Hills or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, and then...
Oh, Mr. Holland's Opus. Lots of cocaine.
And then Bill Murray took had an argument with one of the female producers, broke her glasses and threw it across the parking lot, threw her in the lake at one point. So...
Ew.
Apparently he's, like, incredibly difficult to work with at times, or, I mean, can be, but, I mean, it's Bill Murray, but you don't want to think ill of the man, but there's enough consistent stories, it's kind of disheartening.
It's kind of like how it is in the NFL. If you have talent, you get chance after chance after chance. You can literally, you know, beat a woman. And they're like, well, you're really talented. Let's keep going with this. Whereas in acting, they do kind of the same thing. Like, you can obviously treat people like shit and push people in lakes and break glasses and throw objects, have a Christian Bale type temper tantrum, and hey, keep rolling. We're good. And your career does really well, unless you're Kevin Spacey. Then you're done. You're...
Bum, 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 bum.
I don't know.
When they pull you,
he made a weird excuse, and then a witness up and died. So
when you are
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah, when you're completely pulled from a film that is already done filming, they just haven't released it yet,
and they replace you.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the replacement of adding in I can't think of the actor.
General Chang,
not Plummer.
That doesn't help. It's Christopher Plummer. Yeah, he replaced Kevin Spacey as the patriarch of the family, which, in my mind, if this is like a family, like, you know, heritage and lineage, like, you're passing down the money, like, this is what we do, why would you not have an older actor?
Knives Out? Are you... No.
So are you saying that when they brought on Christopher Plummer, they turned to Kevin Spacey and said, so long, farewell, Alf Peterson, good night.
Yes.
Don't get a little boy.
But Bill Murray. Bill Murray does kind of have that reputation and can kind of get away with a lot of stuff, but he's also extremely talented, and people show up. People go to his movies. You know, mm-hmm. they like him.
I mean, even movies that, I'll be quite honest, like some things I don't really particularly like that he has done, or I maybe I just don't get it.
Like
Lost in Translation. I'm not a huge fan of Lost in Translation.
A little bit more art house. Yeah, I really liked him in The Royal Tenenbaums and Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic. You don't like it?
Mm. Oh. Those are kind of weird. Those are weird for me.
But I want to be on A-Team.
I like Wes Anderson. I like Wes Anderson's animation. Like Isle of Dogs, I really enjoyed.
You gotta like when Bill Murray plays himself in Zombieland. That's pretty good.
The best cameo ever.
I wasn't a big fan of Zombieland.
No?
With or without Bill Murray. It was just like,
Did you see Double Tap?
No.
I have not seen it either. So.
Okay.
I mean, I love Bill Murray. I think, though, this is more towards the weaker of his offerings in the 90s.
This isn't Groundhog Day.
No, it's not Groundhog Day. And Ghostbusters, coming off Ghostbusters. And he did some other weird stuff, too. He played Hunter Thompson, Hunter S. Thompson, in Where the Buffalo Roam in the 1980s. He's done weird movies before. But I think this is more his more family-friendly fare.
Right.
What you guys keep saying, family friendly, and like I watched this growing up. There is a grip of language in this.
Well, I mean, I think the worst bit of language that they use in the movie is
the Tourette's.
Have you ever heard of Tourette's syndrome? Mm-hmm. Involuntarily shouting profanity.
It's exceptionally rare.
Shit eating son of a bitch, bastard, douchebag, twat, numbnut, dickhead, bitch.
Why exactly are you doing this?
If I fake it, then I don't have it.
Oh.
Like four times?
I didn't really like pay attention to the Tourette's. But I mean, I think the worst bit of language that I probably paid attention to was when, you know, the coffee store owners are like, son of a bitch. And when he gets the phone call that Bob is not being kept, he's like, no, son of a bitch, Bob.
Honey, what about Bob? What about Bob?
They say the name of this movie in it a little too many times.
No, that's the only time, I think. I think it's the only time.
There it is.
Roll credit.
But this movie got me into the mood. So after we watched this last night, not that movie.
Okay.
But after we watched What About Bob last night, just the sort of the rural, the lakes, the vacation aspect of it, we watched back-to-back Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men. Because Grumpy Old Men is technically a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just sort of got me in that mood for a little bit more of a slapsticky vibe. Because What About Bob is great, but at certain points, he is sort of crossing the line where, okay, like, this man is unwell.
Right.
Then they just tie that in a neat bow at the end. Well, he went back to school. He's a psychologist and he's married.
He's totally good now.
And he wrote, like, the book.
The Death Therapy.
The Death Therapy.
And he's suing him now. I'm like, there's so much to unpack with this last. I think that end credit, or what would we call that?
Just like post credit,
or post movie typing. That's just like, and Band of Brothers does it very well because you already have enough of the story to go, ooh, I'm still interested in what happens in that person's life,
right?
But I understand we don't need to go, you know, 6 hours to find out, you know, where everyone went. Same thing with Sandlot. I'm good with that. I'm good with just knowing a little snippet.
The last episode of Band of Brothers, when they finally put the names on the people they've been interviewing in the beginning and the end. Oh, sorry, guys. We have a boner for Band of Brothers.
We do.
Mm. It's pretty amazing. Mm.
Seconds?
And not the Pacific. The Pacific's not even a half chub.
That's fine. That's fine. You know, you can... Whatever, Nathan.
You really dug the Pacific?
I didn't really dig it. I'm just being confrontational.
I was going to say... We will fight.
We will fight.
Because that was horrible. That was a hot piece of garbage. Anyways, what happens to Gil? This movie should be What About
That's
Gil?
That's very true. You don't really know what does happen to Gil after Bob leaves, which I assume he's still at the coffee shop owner's home.
No.
But you never... Well, I mean, that's where he was staying when he's on vacation, even though he purposely took a vacation, cut off his pants, got the Don't Hassle Me, I'm Local shirt to still stick around Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And Gil presumably is still at the coffee shop owner's home, which, but you're right. You never know what happens to Gil.
I thought he was still in the house and he got blown up. And
there you go. That's a good enough.
But then, but he gets like,
wait, would
air time?
Wouldn't he be in the house? Because Bob did say, will you take care of Gil for me? Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, Bob, I'll feed him till he's big and fat and then I'll eat him.
And then I'll eat you. Like,
no, too far. Too far.
Dreyfus, what are you doing?
Why would you not think that Gil would not be like the best man at the wedding?
Oh my God.
I could see Bill,
but there's Bob not really a payoff with Gil. That's why I mean, for the amount of times they mention it and like bring it into play.
I see it as like a low maintenance, hygienic kind of like pet for Bob.
A familiar.
Ooh.
Mm. I also want to know what Bob does, because when Bob says like, oh, I'm going to work, and then he just like moves 3 feet over to a desk and a table, like you never find out exactly what he does.
And I'm okay without answers to these questions.
But he also lives in the worst place to be, like
in New York?
Crazy? Like to trying to be a functioning adult. Like, move somewhere where you're not walking down a crowded hallway that is obviously not built to code.
But maybe that's all he knows.
But that's all he knows. Yeah, and I mean,
do people not know how to move in this world? Like,
but
come on.
He explains he feels safe in his apartment, and whenever he has to leave, everything gets exponentially worse. So that's his like, you know, safe zone.
Crazy.
You know, what about Bob?
Segments?
Segmentes.
Segments!
Oh, we were way off. That's okay.
All right, so we've got three segments. First segment.
But he's a patient! I'm Richard Dreyfuss! I was a Joss!
Did you ever have a Bob in your life? How did you handle him, and did it end up worthwhile?
I've never personally had, like, a Bob, like, individual who was an actual mutually my age that I had to, like, encounter and kind of deal with. I have had a Bob student, and you'd think that the right people understood that, you know, this individual was not right and annoying, or possibly even a little off kilter, maybe needing some professional help. And you'd almost think that it would stop. It doesn't.
Nope.
It doesn't. I just got another... I got another phone call from this individual
at like 2 nights in the morning.
2 nights ago. No, luckily it was only like 11:30, but it was like the night before a final. And I was like, no, what do you do? You can't do this. Like, stop doing this. You cannot do this. And they were bringing up weird things from like 3 years ago, somehow thinking that I would possibly know what the hell they were talking about and somehow had answers. Don't know. Hung up. Blocked the call. Like, go away.
You can cure me, Drew. And I'm really going to try this time.
Not really a Bob, but the group of guys that I've had since middle school, really. We were always very close-knit, and there was one person that kept on trying to insert themselves into our group. And I mentioned it before, we got pretty good into the old jazz cabbage and... in high school, and so this person was then trying to use that as a way to come over or hang out, because we were enterprising young high school kids where, in order to support our smoking habit, we would buy in bulk and then subdivide it amongst us. And so this person wanted to purchase some of our material, and we weren't drug dealers, we just did this for ourselves.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
But so he's like,
my mind immediately went to,
and hell
bulk,
is just a sauna.
Divide it up.
I mean, no, just imagine like six guys around a kitchen table with like the thumb scale, and they're all eyeballing everybody else's bags. Like, I think you got more nugs than I did. Like, it was very petty shit. But anyway, this guy wanted to buy a dime bag. And so to get him to leave us alone, we gave him just stems and seeds. Aww. And I felt, I saw him a few years ago, like, He's still good friends with one of my buddies. I'm like, yeah, we're sorry about that, but you know,
you were annoying.
kids are assholes, and we just didn't feel like letting you in.
You can't sit with us,
Karen. All right, so I have not necessarily a Bob, but a tenant. Actually, had a lot of tenants that are that could fit this role pretty well, but one of them, she lives on Cantor. We can just say that. We'll call her Cantor. She's bipolar, and she will come in just guns.
Bam, 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 bam.
About anything. It could be the smallest thing. It could be something that has nothing to do, that nothing I can impact or help, but just to vent, to talk, to the focus, the anger. I am the doctor, Leo Mark. But
my jello won't solidify.
She will go from 100,000 degrees to freezing cold and go, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. I understand that. Okay, well, thank you for your help. And she'll leave. But it's this moment where I'm just taking cover fire. Da, 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 da. Like, I have to just go into war with her. And then all of a sudden she's good, but she is relentless. She is relentless. She will call. If I don't answer, she shows up to the work.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, she's just like, I need to talk to you right here, right now. And it's exhausting. I felt for Doctor in this because he literally, okay, he's about to go on vacation. And we all
his concerns are justified.
And yeah, you have a crazy person. You deal with crazy people all the time. And one is now stalking you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To the point of faking their own death to get information.
Faking to be your sister.
Yeah, and then going to your private residence and then terrorizing you and your family. Even though your family's obviously, like, yucking it up. And, he's so funny. He's fun.
He's sensitive, Dad.
Do you not understand that I deal with psychos? Like, he's
he
not.
Makes it, he makes yet. It very clear he is a patient.
Yeah.
All the time.
And he tries multiple ways to get him out of there. He compromises. He goes, listen, I'll talk to you at the, you know, on the phone. Or
shh, 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 shh. Wait. I think it's letting up.
When he's watching the rain.
And he's just,
Leo,
come on.
Honey. Yeah,
shh. I think it's going to let up. Thunder.
He can wear my, like, what does he say? Slicker.
Oh, he can wear, yeah, my
and
slicker.
He's sitting on the couch just like dejected in the yellow slicker. But he really shouldn't have let him wear your pajamas.
Yeah, that's maybe the crossing line.
I love that Bob went and purposely got his toothbrush as well.
And sleep in the same room with your son.
It's a gentler time.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
And he makes that. And I guarantee you that is definitely not Leo's call. That's the wife's call.
But I mean, Bob, I think he is for the most part harmless.
Right.
But you just don't know.
Well, we've proven that he's less harmless than the doctor. Yeah. Like Leo, like, literally is about to blow him up.
Mm-hmm.
Comically.
I think that's just the point of Bob. Like, he's not going to do any harm, but he will drive you insane. And I think that is the irony of the situation.
Segment two, I think, is my favorite line of the movie. Is this hand shocked? But the whole dinner scene, the chicken and the corn, and he's asking for the sour pop, pile it high and deep. So what was a meal that you either had or somebody had made for you that you felt like Bob and just couldn't stop? Just
Thanksgiving 2009. My brother was still married to his now ex-wife, and she hosted just an insane Pinterest-style Thanksgiving. The green beans had, like, pine nuts in it and bacon. Each thing was just crafted to this, like, stupid level of complexity. Gordon Ramsay's in the back, like, you know, cocktail souls. Like, he's the cook. Yeah, like, what? This is amazing. I had three plates for dinner. Like, everyone sitting down, one, two, three, and then continued to pick with dessert. I just could not gorge myself enough.
Because it's not a meal until you hate yourself.
Yeah, I'm not done when I'm full. I'm done when I hate myself.
Yes. Yeah. And it was my rookie year of firefighting, so that may have played into it, of me just being super hungry and, like, tired, and I'm done with firefighting, and, man, let's get to it. But that was an epic meal.
I'm going to have to say my Grandma Mana's saltimbocca, which is an Italian dish. It means it pops in the mouth, like it It's very good. And it's veal cutlets that you pound flat. Mm-hmm. And then generally, she'd do it a couple different ways, but generally there would be like a nice piece of hard salami laid on top of that, and then a nice fat hunk of fontina cheese. And then on the very bottom, you roll it up, and then you wrap it with a piece of prosciutto, and then you braise it. Mm-hmm. So you would get this unctuous, meaty butteriness from the veal. You would get the crispiness from the prosciutto that was exposed in the oven, and then the little bit of that ooze of the cheese when you would cut into it. Oh my god.
That's a dirty girl.
Yeah, it is. But I think that's probably, like, if I could do like a Rick and Morty type of like summoning a meal, it would probably be that.
Well played.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't remember the actual restaurant name, but it was a sushi joint in San Diego. And my friend and I went in, and what we did is we did the chef's choice for dinner. So you let the chef completely choose, like, what order of sushi that you're going to be getting, saucing it, cutting it, you know, hand rolls, nigiri, whatever. But it was just this eclectic, you know, and delicious meal. And it was just so satisfying. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you don't want to sit there and just, like, gush over it, but you almost just, you know, you take a bite of the fish and you just kind of, like, melt with it. Oh. And, I mean, you just, instead of just, like, the, like, that, oh, my God.
Wait,
you
just want to, did we not?
You want to look at it and go, like, this is just, like, it's almost, it is a sexy selection of finger foods, essentially. And it was a nice time.
So our final segment is, I'm sailing! What was something that you were initially fearful or apprehensive about? Some sort of activity, perhaps, that once you gave it a try, you realized that you actually did enjoy it?
So I do not like unsecured heights. Okay. If there is not, if it's like stairs going up, there better be like a railing, or there better be a wall that I can somehow, like, you know, guide myself along to, you know, mountainsides where they possibly don't have enough width to, like, keep walking. Either way, like, unsecured heights, like, freak me the hell out. When I was a kid and I went to camp a lot, we had, you know, the activities where you could do like the rock climbing wall, or, you know, the activities where you could climb. It was almost like a mini, like, military obstacle course. Like, kids could just go. And it was also one of those things where, like, you had to do it in order to be part of, like, your team. And if you didn't do it, like, your team lost. And it was climbing over, like, a giant, like, vertical wall, you know, climbing to the top and then climbing back down, or climbing to the top and getting to, like, you know, the tree house that's, you know, was built for the kids up. And the only way to get up into it was to literally climb either a rope or this vertical wall. And it just terrified me to, like, climb up. But once, like, I actually got to the point of getting used to it, I was like, oh, it's not so bad. Like, it's still kind of like anxiety filling.
Yeah, heights are not.
It's not.
Not the fun.
not the fun. But I mean, once I kind of got it down, you know, it wasn't so bad. It was still, but it wasn't so bad.
Nathan?
This was probably the hardest one because I am a pretty outgoing, I rarely will be like, no, I'm not going to do that type of person. I'll try just about any of it at least once. And this one is kind of weird, but I used to be deathly afraid of going to court. I thought that every time that I would go to court for my work, I was going to jail. That they were just going to turn it around. Even though the person was not paying rent, even though we were going to court to evict them, I thought the judge was just going to be like, you're going to jail. You're never going to see anyone ever again.
Like, it's the Scolari brothers!
I don't know what's going on! So court, just all authority figures have that, you know, like, intimidation on me. Even cops. I'm very respectful because I just don't want to be on the wrong side.
I don't want any trouble.
Yeah. I'm not trying to, you know, do anything bad. So after going a couple of times and learning that you're not made of glass and you know the ebb and flow of it, it's kind of fun, especially when you have your ducks in a row. And it's just, I don't know.
You're playing magic with these people. You've got your deck over there. You're sitting there. Shuffling. You've got all your mana out. And they're like, oh, well, this, that. And you're just like, just advancing creatures. They're saying something. You're rebuffing it with a spell block.
I tap for swamp, swing for 12. What? What just happened? I swing
in response.
And it's lifelink. And trample.
Mr. Zimmerman,
death touch.
In response.
Do you declare blockers? Please. Please block.
No, they've got vigilance, counter. So they can attack this round.
And haste. How do you have everything?
You know, we're going to expedite this this hearing. We're just going to burn.
Yeah, shuffle. Scoop. Yeah, court can really be... It's still exhilarating and still scares me shitless. But when you are on the right side and you have your material ready, it's like going to Friday Night Magic with a really good deck. It's like, heck yeah, I want to play the guy that is really good because I know what I've got.
I fought the law and the law won.
Come at me.
I think for me, it was I was always very intimidated. Like, I do all right in the kitchen, but I was always intimidated by baking.
Mm.
And
because it's a science.
Well, and it got a lot easier when I invested like the 20 or 30 bucks in a kitchen scale so I could measure out the ingredients rather than just doing it by cups and tablespoons. But when I was home in November, I made a big stromboli for my mom, my stepdad, and my sister. And I think my sister is always a little bit apprehensive, like, oh, Jack's cooking, like, we'll see what this is. But when she cut her slice off and she said, oh my god, Jack, the crumb on the inside, like, wow. And it was almost like, for her what about Bob, like, because like she's
this hand toss.
Yeah, exactly. But she's very into like the whole 30, and she's limiting gluten, and she's not doing dairy, and she's no added sugar. Like, she doesn't like fun food anymore. So she's like, all the cheese in this is probably going to give me diarrhea tomorrow, but goddamn, I'm going to have another slice. It's so good. I'm like, I'll take that. If the threat of diarrhea the next day, and you're like, fuck it.
Double down.
Pile it high and deep. But yeah, I think that was my moment there of, you know, conquering that aspect of the kitchen where I'm no longer afraid of yeasts, breads, doughs. Yeah.
Well, I believe we are in need of a voting for how did you like the movie?
Some sort of rating?
Some sort of rating. How many baby steps would you give it?
I'd say from like difficult conversation about leaving the family alone to psychiatric hold, I'd go 2 out of 3 cop calls or something like that.
2 out of 3 cop calls?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'd blow the house up twice, but the third time I wouldn't. It's a good movie, though. It's fun and definitely worth a watch or two, but shelf it after that, you know, for a while.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with giving this 4 family hand puppets out of 5 family hand puppets, because Bob's hand puppet is actually missing, but I'm perfectly fine with keeping the 4 out of 5.
I like it. Well, there is no Patreon exclusive because
this is the Patreon.
So,
which is completely fine. But hey, you guys can always, you know, get on, call the Tooch line, and
pick up your Tooch tone phone
and leave us some love, a voicemail.
Gird your loins.
If you guys don't want to, you know, call the Tooch line,
it's our exchange.
Yeah, it's our exchange. If you don't want to call and leave a message, by all means, get out there. We would adore some 5-star reviews on Apple iTunes. And if you guys want to also catch us for our next Patreon episode in 2 weeks, which will be A Knight's Tale.
The boys are back in town.
So in 2 weeks' time, we got our Patreon, and then we have our year 2 in review. So from all of us here at the Realfeels Podcast, thank you for joining us. And remember, you're the realist.
And the feelist. Good
baby steps.
Is this hand shocked?